today as we come to the table.
He lived out the law. He went to the cross and became a curse for us, as we're going to see as we get into the passage. And if we simply believe in him, then everything's paid for and covered. That's how this works. We simply can't live by it due to our sin nature. And hence, if we try to live under it, we're under a curse. It doesn't mean we're not to try to live righteous. It doesn't mean we don't try to live holy. It doesn't mean we don't follow the moral standard of God's word. Okay? Because I think some people can be confused by that and say, well, then just ignore the Bible. We don't need the Bible. Jesus did everything on the cross. No, the Bible is how we're to live. This is our directive. We just simply can't do it by the law.
Imagine that the only way to get to heaven is by living a perfect life, according to the Old Testament laws. Even if God excused all your past sins, do you think you'd be able to fulfill the law without making any mistakes? How stressful would this be? At some point, you'd probably cry out, "It's impossible," and you'd be right. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches you that trying to get to heaven by your own good works is indeed impossible. Trying to do so is a curse, because no matter how hard you try, you'll still fail and be condemned. Thank God that He sent His Son Jesus to live a sinless life and pay the price for our sins. You can now live in freedom. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 3 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now, Lord, as we shift gears and get into your word, I pray again that you would now speak from heaven, that you'd prepare our hearts for what you have for us, open up our eyes to see, open up our ears to hear. Now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, let us learn about the joy of the freedom we have in what you have done on the cross as compared to the curse of coming under the law. So, Lord, speak to your flock, feed your people, and thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit and your presence among your flock today. We're looking to you and we're listening to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Going to be looking at faith and blessing versus law and curse. And I want to just read these four verses five. And then go back and tear it apart in more detail. Notice what he says there in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Paul says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, again, we talk about today, again, the difference in blessing and cursing when Paul comes to this particular portion of Scripture. And here's the bottom line. Everyone wants to be blessed. You want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. If you ask the average person, would you rather be blessed or cursed? Everyone's going to say, I'd rather be blessed. Because we don't like to be cursed. We want a blessing in our life. And yet, as we're going to see today, there are many who are seeking God. And yet, while they're seeking Him, they're choosing to walk in a cursed life, and they don't even realize it. And Paul's going to be addressing that today. You say, how in the world could someone be seeking God and be purposely seeking God and be living in a cursed life? That is, we're going to see Paul challenge the Galatians and us with a simple and clear choice, which leads either to that curse or that blessing. And that is this: it all hinges on how we view the law in the Bible, whether we live in freedom or whether we live under a curse. The Bible says, and Paul's going to make this clear, if we choose to live in the freedom of the cross, then we're going to live in joy and the freedom of the Lord. But if we choose to come under the law, we're going to be under a curse. And it's going to get very detailed. It's not just a curse. Paul's going to actually use the wording "the curse." You know, it's one thing to say that we have a curse on us. I look at myself, and when it comes to eating food, I joke, I'm cursed. No matter what I do and no matter how hard I try, you know, it's like something gets on my shirt. I don't know how it is. I can make it all day. See, now, Sunday mornings aren't so bad because Sunday morning, there aren't that many challenges to survive before I get up here. But if I start wearing what I'm going to wear on Wednesday night, I've got that whole day, and I can literally be as far away from the plate as I can, set the spoon down as easy, and I'll hit it, and the spoon, and I see it hit the spoon, fly in the air, and I watch it. It's like slow motion. Now, why? I don't know why. It's just clumsiness or whatever that is about me, whatever. So I could jokingly say, well, I'm cursed in the whatever. No, this is not talking about something in your life that's cursed. What Paul's going to address today is, your whole life's cursed, every area, if you're trying to live under the law. And so that's why it is so important that we understand what it means to try to live under the law, what it means to be cursed like that, and how to stay out from under that curse. And the way, again, that people choose that, Paul's going to tell us, again, putting themselves under the biblical law rather than freedom in Jesus. Now, I'm going to make this point now. I've already made it before, and I'm going to reiterate it, no doubt, before we're done with the book of Galatians. But I want to make it clear, this does not mean that the law is bad. The law is good, and it is God's highest standard. Nothing wrong in the law. The problem is with us. So it's not that we avoid the law because it God messed up, and it's not good. No, the law is perfect, but Jesus fulfilled it. He was the only one that was able to fulfill it because he is perfect. He lived out the law. He went to the cross and became a curse for us, as we're going to see as we get into the passage. And if we simply believe in him, then everything's paid for and covered. That's how this works. We simply can't live by it due to our sin nature. And hence, if we try to live under it, we're under a curse. It doesn't mean we're not to try to live righteous. It doesn't mean we don't try to live holy. It doesn't mean we don't follow the moral standard of God's word. Okay, because I think some people can be confused by that and say, well, then just ignore the Bible. We don't need the Bible. Jesus did everything on the cross. No, the Bible is how we're to live. This is our directive. We just simply can't do it by the law. We either walk in faith or we walk under a curse. And although that may sound radical, that's what the scriptures teach. You know, for many years we've gone to Israel. And I always, when I see these guys, these religious guys in Israel that don't know the Lord, they're these Jewish people and they wear the prayer shawl, they go to the wall and they do all this, you know, so you watch them, maybe you see them on TV where they do their ritual prayers and they spend all day long in the Word of God and they argue about theology and do all these things and they do their best to live by the law. I see them and I think, how tragic that somebody could spend their entire life trying that hard only to die and find that it was all wasted, and yet that's what they're doing. And this is what Paul was facing, and this is what these guys were trying to bring to the Galatians that Paul had already preached freedom to, and how it breaks my heart when I see that in Israel, when I understand what the scripture says, and I come back to America, and I see Americans trying to become like the Jews over in Israel, within the church. Listen, there's nothing wrong, as we said before, about maybe doing some of the feasts to see what the symbolism is, and maybe in your prayer closet you feel good by putting something over your head. That's fine. There's nothing wrong in that. But if you're trying to live like the Jews and put yourself under the law and put yourself by the feast and circumcision and all these regulations, the Bible says you're making null and void the sacrifice on the cross. Understand that. You're doing away with Jesus' sacrifice, and you're saying, instead of what Jesus did, I'm going to do it. The sad news is you can't do it. It's impossible. There's no way you can do it. And so again, we have to understand that we have this freedom in Jesus because of what he's done. Now, let me make a point on this. You might think, all right, yeah, but I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. Listen, I don't care how good you are. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. And that may sound to some people very depressing. It makes me excited. You know why? Because I can quit trying to be good enough to get to heaven. Just enjoy what Jesus has done and then let him pay for all of it and get there. And why can you not be good enough? Let's say that you could. Let's say that you were born and from the time you were born all the way till you died, you've got to stay perfect your entire life and never mess up once. And if you mess up one time, it's done. But I'm going to make it even harder for you. Because let's say you, like Jesus, could actually live a sin-free life, which you can't. and you already haven't, but let's say that you could, and you could be that good, and all these things. Even if you lived an entire life sin-free and you died, you could not get into heaven. Why? You know why? Because the Bible says you are born with sin in your bloodline. See, the Bible says Adam sinned in the garden. Adam inherited that sin. He passed that sin on to us. Guess where you get your bloodline today? The blood that you have genetically. Now, people do their, they always do their genealogies, 23andMe, whatever you want to call it, the different things. And you do the genealogy and you go back. And oftentimes when people do the genealogies, a lot of times just curiosity about where's our family from. We want to know what's our background. I get that. You want to know what your heritage is and all that. I know that sometimes people do it because they want somebody famous in their bloodline or this kind of thing. I'm going to tell you right now, without doing the 23andMe, I can tell you every one of you go back to Adam. Every single one of you go back to Adam somehow. Because that's where they were, the first Adam and Eve were the first two, the Bible says, and the bloodline came through Adam. Here's what it says. The Bible says we inherited our blood genetically, which means it can be linked. And by the way, when they do these genetic tests now, guess what? They go back to an original two people. Did you know that? You won't hear that much in your science circles or on your TV, but those who do genetic tests realize that now that we know DNA, it literally, everyone literally goes back to two people that started it. Pretty awesome. Now, we knew that. We didn't need science. Is slowly catching up with the Bible, is it not? Slowly. But since we've believed the Bible, we were way ahead of science. Science is now catching up, and it's fun to see science catch up, and it's fun to see them have to grapple with these things that the Bible already told us. But here's the bottom line. The moment you're born, there's sin surging through your veins, even though you did nothing wrong. Nothing. But sin is surging through your veins. What that means is, you're guilty, although you've done nothing wrong. So even if you lived your entire life, you've inherited the disease of sin from your father, Adam, and there's no escape from it. It's where your blood came from genetically. It's where your DNA links back to. And now you're guilty before God, even if you're perfect. Now we can all say, then just quit trying. Because it can't be done. And that's going to be Paul's point today. It can't be done. It's impossible. You're not going to be able to do it. You can't put yourself under the law to make someone happy. You simply have to trust what Jesus has done and be free from the restrictions of what are put on you based on what we think good and evil is, or good and bad. Of course, we know good and evil, but I mean how we're supposed to please God. We simply need to trust the Lord. And so we walk by faith and we believe by faith. You know, it's been noted here, many today choose to live under a curse. And why you would do that, they don't know they're doing it because they're choosing to come under the law. And by coming under the law, they are under a curse. They obviously don't realize they're choosing to be cursed, but that's what Paul's going to address today. And when you run to a curse, that's the results you get. I read a story about a homeless man in London this week. He entered a pub called George and the Dragon. What a name, George and the Dragon. Now that just sounds very British, doesn't it? The Dragon. Anyway, but upon entering, he encountered a woman at the front desk, and he asked, he said, "I'm homeless. Could you maybe give me a bite to eat or something?" And she immediately began to berate him and curse him and malign him for not working hard enough and being a lazy bum. And she said, "Get out of my establishment, immediately leave." And he said, at that point, said to the woman, "Well, it was nice to meet the dragon. Can I speak to George?" The bottom line is, guys, listen, for those who speak to the law for mercy and grace in your time of need, if you're trying to live under the law and you run for mercy and grace living under the law, here's what's going to happen. Rather than love, kindness, mercy, and forgiveness, you will encounter a dragon, that serpent of old, laying religious burdens and guilt on your back that you can never carry nor ever find peace with God in the midst of. Impossible. Can't happen. So once again, the main thing that he'll be driving home today is this, really to us, and this is the main question we'll begin and end with. Do we want to live under grace, mercy, and blessing, or under the law, which is a burden and a curse? And although it sounds radical, it's one or the other. You can't do both. The choice is up to us, what Jesus has done or what we can try to do, which is impossible to do. And this will not only determine how we live our life right now, this determines eternity. Note that. And why is that? Because the Bible declares that no one will enter the kingdom of God by following the law, because none of us are able due to our sin nature inherited by Adam. However, once you truly understand that you can't enter, that's when you're free. Because now you know it's what Jesus did on the cross, and you can rest in the joy of what Jesus is now carrying for us. And so with that foundation laid, let's jump into it. Paul's in the middle of this argument about the law and about curse and about freedom in Christ. And he says again in verse 10, For as many as are of the works of the law, note this, are under, not a curse, notice what it says, the curse. The curse. That's why I was saying it's not just a curse of, oh, I got a spot on my shirt and I'm joking about being cursed. No, your life is cursed. Your whole life. And this is what's so tragic about people that try so hard to please God and they put themselves under a biblical curse, if you will, the curse, because they're trying to use the Bible and the biblical law as a means of salvation. And this is what the Judaizers were doing coming into the church there in Galatia. They were trying to make the law the way that people would get saved. Hey, you can have Jesus, just keep doing circumcision. You can have Jesus, just make sure you follow the feast. You can have Jesus, just do all these other things. And Paul's saying, stop it. Stop it. You're making the cross null and void by doing that. It's one or the other. You can't mingle the two. And so Paul says it's not only following the law is wrong for the believer, if not follow completely, he says here, to a T, including every biblical law written, it doesn't bring a curse, it brings the curse. Notice, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And the rabbis say there's some 613 different laws that they're supposed to keep. Can you imagine living a life where every day you got up, you had to, I got to keep 613 laws today. You know, it's hard enough for me to keep up with the traffic violations, much less all these other laws that I'm supposed to keep up with, right? I mean, how is this possible? Again, you can see the total exasperation that would come in a life like this. And it's a total cursing, if you will, which is Paul's point. If you want to be cursed, go for it. If you don't, you want to be free, then run to Christ, because it cannot be attained by human effort. Note this, what Paul is saying is, God has given mankind a righteous requirement in order to get to heaven that you cannot fulfill. Think how frustrating that is. But there is an answer. It can be fulfilled through the cross. Imagine this, right now where you are, we're at the Olympics, 100 meter, the top athletes of the world, and right here from this seat in Calvary Chapel, you get picked up, you're like transported there, they put you down, and you're in line with all of them, and they say, you have to win, Mark, or we're going to kill you. I'd say, shoot me now. You know, don't aim it this way, because there's no way, I can't do this. But you're required to win or you're going to die. It's impossible. Now, that's just an earthly example. Think about God's standard of divine perfection. Right now, God picks you up and sets you down in front of his throne and says, you have to be perfect for all your life, forever. And even if you were, it wouldn't work because your bloodline's tainted. So somehow you have to get a transfusion of blood that's never been tainted with sin from Adam. And that means you'd have to be born virgin birth like Jesus was. By the way, why is the virgin birth essential? There are some today that say, well, the virgin birth isn't essential. It didn't even happen. If the virgin birth didn't happen, Jesus would have been born with the same tainted blood that we all have right now in this room. God didn't do the virgin birth to show off. I can make a woman have a baby just by doing it. Yeah, God can do that. He wasn't showing off. God was jumping over Adam's bloodline and saying, I've got to start over with a new untainted bloodline, a virgin birth, a son shall be given, and he's going to be the one that's going to go. He'll live the perfect life with the untainted bloodline. He'll go to the cross, and now you just believe in him, and you all get into heaven. See, this is the beauty of this. And so he's saying it's not only it's a condemnation of the law, but the requirements of the law needed in order to please God that cannot be attained without human effort, which means leads to a requirement, again, that's impossible to reach. Now you know why he says it's a curse. Just imagine a requirement to do something that's impossible to do. That is a curse, which means those today who are trying to obey the law for righteousness before God, be it a Jew or be it someone here in America trying to live under the law in the church. We could name the groups, we don't need to, but you've probably met them. They have unwittingly, Paul says, undertaken an impossible task that will only result in frustration and ultimately condemnation because they're not receiving what Jesus did for them on the cross. See, this is why this message is so important. They are doomed to failure no matter what they do, and that's why Paul is so strongly warning us to stay away from the biblical law. James 2, verses 10 through 12 says this, for whoever shall keep the whole law or the entire law and yet stumble in how many points? One. One point. He's guilty of all. That means if we mess up one time, we're guilty of everything the Bible says not to do. Well, I never did those things. Sorry, you're guilty. It's all accrued to your account. Again, even if we lived in legal perfection our entire life, one point we're forever doomed. As we said, even if we were able to do that because of our tainted bloodline, it wouldn't make any difference because, again, it's already too late. We're tainted. And so he says, you can't do it. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. It's evident if you know God's word about it. For the just shall live by faith. Now, just here means to be made right legally. Okay, which is what the law does. The law is the legal requirement before the court of heaven. And he says you can't be justified legally or made right by following the biblical law because the Bible says the just have to live by faith. That's the only way they can get in. That's the only way it will work. He goes on to verse 12 and says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them, that is follows the laws, shall live by them. His point is this, if we choose to try and live by the law, then we have to live by every jot and tittle, and you can't do it. Remember, the Lord said, every jot and tittle of the law will be fulfilled, he said. Everything God said is going to be done. And all of the law was fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. He goes on and says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, here's the good news. Here's the gospel. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Again, when someone was executed in Jewish culture, they were often then hung on a tree to show they were cursed because God said all who hang on a tree are cursed, which was a picture of Jesus one day being hung on the tree of the cross. And notice it says, when he did that, he became a curse for us in our place, making sure that someone paid for it because someone has to. See, we think about God being a God of mercy, but understand this, he's also just. I used to think when I was a kid, why can't God just say, everyone's forgiven, right? Because he's God. Just forgive everybody, big, nice, happy, jovial, you know, white beard in heaven and glowing. You're all forgiven, right? Here's why. Is he merciful to do that? Yes, if we ask. But it is required that he's also just. Because the Bible says he's a just God, which means everyone's sin also must be paid for in order for it to be just. There has to be somebody to pay for it, either you and I or the Lord. And so that's where the balance comes in. He can't just forgive. It's either by us or it's by Jesus, if you will. He's the one. He's the one that has to do it. And so we know that. And so he's saying, you know, again, can't be done any other way. It's got to be done by him. He's the one that does it. Notice verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that is, we all start out at birth again under a curse, and the language reveals that Jesus not only became a curse for us here in this verse, but it says he became a curse or became the curse over us. Now what does that mean? In other words, you ever heard the terminology, if you're going to get to them, you've got to come through me? That's what he's saying. God the Father has to judge sin from heaven, pouring his wrath out on it. And what Jesus is saying is, over my dead body on the cross.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is ending. But you don't have to wait until next time to listen to more great Bible stories. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say about this subject and so much more. The book of Galatians has so many practical applications to daily life inside and outside the church today. When you hear your pastor talking about legalism, he's teaching from this text. When there's a political unbalance between church and state, the Church of Galatia is the biblical foothold for how God's church should conduct itself under such pressure. Never let it be said that the lessons in the Bible don't apply to the modern day. They are as real now as they were then. Do you live in the Knoxville area? If so, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and our church family at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15, Saturday night at 6, or Wednesday night at 7. Can't make it in person? No worries. You can join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app. that you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. You can scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info too. Pastor Mark has much more to share from the book of Galatians, so we hope you can join us next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.